Good evening, London. The time is 9:02, which means for the last hour of me this evening, we are taking it to all things QPR. I've got the boys from Ranger Things here in the studio, Julian, Gareth and Gav, for the duration as we talk all things Super Hoops. I'm looking forward to it, boys. I was saying to the Crystal Palace fans earlier, and I say it to most fans across the network, where I do the score of a weekend as all the goals go in your big games of London scores first. It's like I am a supporter of every London club, so I sit here on a Saturday afternoon and I cheer with passion every single London club across the Premier League and English Football League and even in the National League as well. So it's great to see QPR actually start to turn things around. I guess I've got to open it up by asking you, what has John Eustace done that Steve McLaren wasn't?
Looking at me for that one, because I was the only one there on Saturday.
But, I watched it.
I think he's actually gone and looked at the opposition and picked a team to beat the opposition rather than a blanket team that has come in and the predictable 11, he just thinks he put them in there to play against whoever. Whereas Eustace has looked at it, he's changed it up. I mean, Hemed was a surprise on Saturday and he's got two goals, and he thought about how Swansea play, how we can break them down and how we can impact the game. And he's chosen a team to make that happen, which is refreshing in a way.
Did you feel then that maybe there was an arrogance from the approach of Steve McLaren? Because you mentioned there, so maybe taking each game on its merit, considering who you're playing, but McLaren might come from a background where generally he's managed strong teams.
Yeah, maybe. I think he was showing a lot of faith in players that maybe he should have dropped earlier. I think everyone thought that Manning should have had a chance earlier. When, you know, was surprised that he went out on loan, and when he came back, when things weren't working, I don't think he was quick enough to change it. Whereas Holloway arguably changed things, tinkered too much. I don't think McLaren did. He showed a lot of loyalty to a lot of players.
But who you would have liked to have seen dragged out a little earlier?
Well, Manning for a start, and we were talking on the last show.
Even at left back.
Yeah, even at left back. I mean, yeah, Bidwell got injured, and I think it's a good thing that he did, because when he went off against Norwich, that just everything was all over the place. The defence definitely needed changing, but Eustace was very brave, I think, to actually stick with Furlong at centre back after the absolute hammering we took against Norwich. He actually stuck with, he had to replace Bidwell at left back, and then he replaced Lynch, yeah. But he was pretty bold to stick with Furlong, I think.
Well, brave decision.
He didn't stick with him for Millwall, did he? Because he wasn't centre back at Millwall game.
No.
So I think, I think he's realised that Lynch is a liability,
yeah,
which we've all known for a while. And for some odd reason, Leisner didn't start in the Norwich game. Mm. And I think those look like the best centre-back. So I think Eustace has just made sensible decisions. He's put the right pairing at centre-back. And also, Bright Assayer Samuel has been the best player for like the last four games and hasn't started. And then finally starts this weekend and was man of the match.
Yeah.
What was the feeling amongst fans? Was Norwich like a free hit? I mean, top of the league, you know, flying high. Was it a case of...
Sound like Harry Redknapp now. It's like...
just get through that one. But what was most important was the performances and results against Millwall and Swansea.
You want a reaction. I mean, you know, a new man comes in. I mean, it was so apathetic that the performance against Norwich was so poor. It just, I felt sorry for the fans who are up there. The game was over, a bit like Swansea fans on Saturday, actually. The game was over in a heartbeat. There was no fight, there was no desire, there was no intention to get yourself in the game, put a tackle on, press high. And as any football fan, paying money to go and watch football or support your team, watch it on TV, whatever, if you see that, it's so disencouraging. Like, you want to see your team fighting for whatever it is. As ever, technically, as poor as they are, they can still put a shift in. They didn't at Norwich, and that was...
But it probably helped us. I think it wasn't a free hit, but they didn't react. But I think they were so appalled themselves, probably a little bit embarrassed, that it helped them react to Millwall to think, this is going to be a fight, back to the wall game. And we grounded out a
nil-nil. The wake-up call.
Grounded out a nil-nil. And then I think we thought, good, actually, we've got a draw there. And then we relaxed a bit for the game at the weekend. And stonking start, 4-0.
Yeah, Gareth, two words that stuck with me there. You mentioned a commitment and desire. Now, across the first half, you scored bundles of goals, but there were also lots of yellow cards. So did you see a different level of effort from the players, like they were really at it from the off?
Well, it was actually tactical as well, because it was yellow cards all against one player. which was the nippy winger.
Right.
James, I think it is. Is it Daniel James? And it's that was good, and it was different players getting on him, getting at him, stopping him playing, because all week Swansea had been telling, especially Angel Rangel, that he's going to do you. He's too quick for you. He's too good for you. And it was, you know, it's tactical. It swapped it around. Jordan Cousins had him. Rangel had him. I can't remember who got the first yellow card on him, but they were stopping him playing. And psychologically, they got in their heads.
Yeah.
They stopped Swansea playing. Swansea wanted to play. It looked like a training ground exercise from minute one to minute 19. They didn't give up playing out from the back. They weren't good enough to do it. They couldn't deal with the pressure. And you need to do that sometimes. We didn't do it against Norwich. We kind of did it against Millwall. We went at it from the first whistle. And you need to do that sometimes. And fair play to Eustace for getting them fired up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I mean, against going back to Norwich, there was no pride. And I think we discussed this last week on the show, that we probably should have played more defensively, because taking a 4-0 battering, you know, it could have gone either way. That could have drained all the confidence out of us, or they could have looked for a response, which is what they've actually done. And I think, you know, there's a lot of players out of contract at the end of the season, but also it was so embarrassing that I think, you know, that they're just not willing to go out like that and just lose. We all sat here and we said we don't know where the next goal is going to come from, and we don't know where points are going to come from. Luckily, Millwall were really poor, but you know, within 10 seconds of the whistle going, Scowen had put in a vicious tackle, a really strong tackle. And that's
borderline.
Kind of borderline. He could have, you know, if he misjudged that.
In the Premier League, it would have been off, right?
No, he got the ball, but if the ball had gone just slightly earlier, that could have been a red, you know, and he definitely, to go up there and do that, it definitely set the tone. And we pushed on from that, and we pressed and pressed. And then against Swansea, I mean, apart from the fact when we went 3-0 up, I couldn't believe it. I also got a little bit upset, because I was a bit annoyed that why have we not been doing this all year?
I thought you were going to say I was upset. Well, I wanted 4, 5, 6 and 7.
No, but it was frustrated that why haven't we been doing this? Why have we been so bad? And it's not like McLaren had lost the dressing room because they all wanted to play for him, but well, Eustace did something.
Gareth Madley over there bet on Furlong first goal scorer and 4-1.
Yeah.
And so in the last minute, he's actually willing them to get a goal.
I've never wanted a team to score more against QPR than that day.
Remember, kids, gambling is bad.
It's only £2.
Well, he lost. He lost the £2. Shows his bad.
Well, let me ask you, boys. So I've got the stats in front of me from the game. Ball possession, only 28%. Only 115 completed passes as opposed to Swansea's 549. Feels like it's more Route 1 stuff. I'm asking.
Listen,
off the back of that, let me just ask, would you take that for the rest of the season if it was productive?
That's where
we've had it all season.
Yeah, yeah, our success has been built on not having the ball, hitting teams on the counter-attack. It wasn't Route 1. It was... I mean, the third goal, I mean, some of them are laughable. Route 1, the second goal was Lumley down the middle. The defender headed it on. Hemed finished it. The first goal was from a corner. Great corner. Furlong scored. We've been putting that pressure on teams with corners, not getting the results we get. The third goal, wicked cross. You can't defend those crosses, and Hemed scored. Full form is a bumble. But stats don't always tell the truth. The 4-0 tells what the result was.
Yeah, well, and most of their touches were in their own half in their first third. They just, you know, they were just playing around the defence.
Well, Rangers fans, listen out there. If you want to get involved in the conversation with the boys from Ranger Things, then give us a shout. The number is 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. When we come back, it's the hot topic from the loft. Who's going to be the next manager?
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome back to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. It is for the fans, by the fans, and those fans are the Ranger Things boys, Julian, Gareth and Gav, joining me in the studio all the way until 10 p.m. this evening. If you want to get involved in the conversation, the number to call is 0208 7020 558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. Just to bring you the latest out of the games currently going on, there's that six-pointer in the Premier League between Brighton and Cardiff. It still stands at Brighton 0, Cardiff 2, 71 minutes played there. And the two big games in the Champions League from the Nou Camp, it's Barcelona 2, Manchester United 0. That's 3-0 to Barcelona on aggregate. And it's Juventus 1, Ajax 1, which is 2-2 on aggregate. Boys, let's take it to this new manager stuff, right? First up, John Eustace has distanced himself from it. As already some people saying, well, why? He's had two great results. I know it's knee-jerk, but would it be realistic to even suggest that he could take over at QPR?
I think that he should get to the end of the season. It doesn't look like we're going down. I would give him to the end of the season. He's got a reaction from the same squad that McLaren wasn't getting a reaction from. Good record, albeit in the Conference North. But I think if he does all right, potentially, because I think it's a poison chalice, and if he wins over the players and he wins over the hierarchy, then why not, would be my question.
It's
rather
a huge
than
jump,
too
though,
risky,
isn't it?
Too risky.
Yeah, but there's a lot less pressure on him than there is bringing in another manager who might risk his career, you know? I mean, everyone that we've brought in has been expected to do better than the last guy and not been given a proper chance, really. Arguably, Holloway's done the best out of all of them in the last.
Can you imagine, though, after what we've had of the last 5-6 managers, that the hierarchy takes a bet on someone that's had 5 or 6 games?
A non-league manager, basically.
And it doesn't work next season. Yeah. That is too risky for them to take that, I think, personally.
Yeah. It's all about timing, really, you know.
I was dead against him after Norwich. I thought, well, he hasn't got a reaction. But it was a little bit, in hindsight, it was a little bit unfair. He didn't have time to implement what he wanted to do. He was up against the best team in the Championship by a long way.
Yep.
Now he's got down to South London. He's got to Millwall, a place we do not score goals or get results. Or we didn't score, but we got a result. And he's got a really good... He got us fired up in that night, which enabled us to get a point. He got us fired up on Saturday, which enabled us to get 3 points after the first 15 minutes. So why is he not being considered? Who else is being considered?
He's taking the pressure of himself by saying that he's not applied for the job.
What was his role under McLaren? What was he doing? Was it assistant or
he was
just
first next
team
in
coach
charge? And... Yeah, he was assistant. He got brought in as McLaren's assistant. McLaren had him as a player at Derby, I believe, and obviously saw something in him of being intelligent, a coach, a guy that can relate to players. Saw his record at Kidderminster. Matt Gardner came with him, but it was very much John Eustace was in there, number two on the training ground. So I think that he's obviously got that coaching knowledge. He's obviously got some sort of rapport with the players because they've played for him after the Norwich debacle. And so I think, why not?
So if we go the rest of the season, pick out, I don't know, six points between now and the end of the season.
Jobs
and that,
is.
And that, would you honestly give
contract
it to him?
Right, but it does. I've said this for a long time. It literally doesn't matter who's in charge in the dugout at the moment in time, because you're talking about, at the moment, it's a two-horse race. If you look at the bookies, it's Tim Sherwood, who is Les's choice, who is part of the Tottenham Mafia with Chris Ramsey and the rest of them, or it's Carlos Carvajal, who has done all right at Wednesday with a big budget.
Well, I suppose there's different things. There's who you think you want, and then there's who you think will get it. And we all know, if Les is making the decision, it's going to be Sherwood.
It will be a shambles if Sherwood.
Which we will all hate, of course, if it's his decision.
But let him live and die by that decision.
But you would, I mean, I'm just asking you, after 5 or 6 games, you'd give it to this guy who's got no record necessarily.
Well, listen, Chris Ramsey got in the back of a couple of games, and a win at Sunderland and another win at home. So, you know, it has happened before at QPR, and I think it could happen again. I don't think it really matters until you sort out the off-pitch shenanigans, which is shenanigans, because it is egotistical. It is people wanting to change at a whim. There's no long-term strategy. The training ground's now taking shape, but people just want to go, are we young players? Are we Premier League ex-mercenaries? What are we? Until we do that, it doesn't matter who's in charge.
Are you happy with this idea that Sir Les could be the one making the decisions?
No, I think if he's the director of football, isn't that what you're supposed to do as a director of football, make those decisions?
And some of you don't trust his judgment?
Well, no, I agree. I don't personally necessarily trust
Why
his
would
judgment.
You trust
but
judgment?
If you've given him that job, shouldn't you tell him to do the job? Yep. And if that's the job that he's supposed to be doing, which is meant to be picking anything football related, let him have that power or get rid of him.
Yeah.
Give me the characteristics of the incoming manager. Let's not talk names so much at the moment, but what characteristics are they going to need? Because for me, you mentioned the two bookies' favourites, Sherwood, who's more of a bringing through young players, a man motivator, he's going to be shouting and screaming on the side, versus Carlos Carvajal, who likes to play a particular way, but might need the particular talent at his disposal to attempt to do that. Is that at QPR? So for you, characteristics of the new guy that's coming in, what does it need to be?
I think incredibly resilient in terms of being able to...
Because we can throw some abuse.
Well, I don't think it... I mean, the fans are fickle at most clubs, let's be honest with you, nowadays, because everyone's got an opinion on Twitter. Everyone gets the opportunity to voice that. I think it's being resilient in terms of being able to deal, if it is another change of strategy, whether it's from the CEO, whether it's from the director of football, Les Ferdinand, whether it's from the four quite senior, serious stakeholders, shareholders that we've got. If you can deal with that and navigate that, and if you can get a decent start, you've got half a chance. Steve McLaren came in on a whim a little bit from his reputation under Harry Redknapp as a coach and previous, and he had an awful start, terrible start. So he had to rectify that very, very quickly, which meant a shift in strategy. So that resilience, that ability to come in, and I think it's not maybe a characteristic, it's actually about knowledge. we're going to be shopping in League Two, League One to make this
and
work.
Abroad.
Maybe the odd Championship. Maybe the odd Clint Hill, Sean Derry type one. And if you don't know what you're doing in that market, which Steve McLaren probably didn't, which is why you had to go Naki Wells, Jeff Cameron, Tom Ahmed, you're going to be in trouble because we ain't got the budget to match it.
Yeah, whoever, is Tim Sherwood going to know that? Tim Sherwood's not.
He's at Swindon.
Whoever it is going to have to get the mix right of experience and youth because there's going to be a lot of youth inside.
With no money.
But, you know, he's going to have some experience that's willing to come in at the end of their career with some experience, cut their wage bill and actually nurse the young kids through.
The one thing about no money, it's a little bit of a fallacy. The players that are out of contract this year, if they go, it's around about £7 million off the wage bill. The likes of Grant Hall, Joel Lynch.
We're £16 million worse off because of the parachute payments as well.
And that being said, if we sell someone for £6 million or save that £7 million off the wage bill, there's money to play.
Freeman could go for five or
Freeman
six.
Freeman is going to go.
Right. He's going to go, and I think we've got a couple of decent replacements.
Is that going
for,
to another Championship
him.
Team?
Possibly.
Yeah, I would have thought so. It's not going to make the Premier League.
If Leeds don't go up, they'll go
Leeds
through.
Or Middlesbrough, yeah, Borough, yeah. Someone like they'll that, they're both it. Interested. Now, I'd get rid of him. I mean, he has been our best player this
or
year, but the last three or four games, he's not played well. And, you know,
he looks tired, Freeman.
He looks tired and he's kind of, yeah, he's not going to want to be there next year. I think we should need to keep hold of Mass. I know Gaz might disagree with me, but, you know, the lot against Norwich, we massively missed him.
No pun intended.
And then when he came back, yeah, we definitely had missed him.
And I suppose the concern for me is that list of people, I'm not convinced they necessarily meet this criteria of being able to bring the youth, experience of signing lower league players on no budget.
Mm. Kenny Jacket.
Maybe Kenny Jacket might be one
and,
of them.
And Eze is actually looking like... Eze is definitely... Oh, right, sorry. Yeah. Eze's looking like a luxury now.
Listen, boys, I just want to bring listeners an update out of the Nou Camp. It's Barcelona 3, Manchester United 0 now. So that's 4-0 on aggregate. The dream is very much dead there in the Champions League now for the Red Devils for another season. And in the other game, it is still 1-1 between Juventus and Ajax. And in the Premier League, that six-pointer, yep, still 2-0 for Cardiff at the Amex with 78 played. You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with the boys from Ranger Thing.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome back, London. The time is 22 minutes past nine. You're listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with the boys from Ranger Things, Julian, Gareth, Gav and myself, James Sherwood, anchoring things. Just to confirm, that third goal for Barcelona at the Nou Camp is one Liverpool fans will enjoy. Philip Coutinho putting United to the sword. It's now 4-0 on aggregate, as I previously mentioned. Boys, we're going to take it to the opposition view now. We've got former Blackburn forward Kevin Gallagher on the line, of course, Premier League winning Kevin Gallagher. Hello, Kevin.
Good evening.
Great to have you on, my friend. Of course, QPR's next game is up against Blackburn Rovers. From a Blackburn perspective, let me ask you, from the last couple of performances, slightly more concerned than you would have been previously about the prospect of playing the Super Hoops?
Not really. I think two games ago when they lost the Forum, I think question marks were getting asked, and I think we would have been a little bit more wary. But I mean, Tony's juggled it around a little bit. He's got them motivated, and they've got a couple of back-to-back results against Derby and Nottingham Forest, and they'll go into the game quietly confident of going down and giving a game.
And obviously, the position Blackburn are in now, I think they're one of the few teams that cannot make the playoffs and cannot get relegated. So, is that pressure off? They can relax. They can go out and try their stuff, and it'll be a bit of a exhibition. Or have they got nothing to play for? They're on the beach, and we'll beat them comfortably.
I basically only think time will tell. To be fair, within the game, I would think they've got positions to play for because Tony's looking obviously to strengthen the side for next season. Now, it gives them that little bit of a cushion to have a look and see which players want the positions and which players he might be shown the exit door, shall we say.
And who do you think we should be wary of, looking out for? Who are the good players at Blackburn that we should be seeing as a threat?
Well, I mean, if Bradley Dack and Danny Graham link up together really well, if they two are on song, it'll be very difficult. to mark them. You know, we need Bradley, who, if his movement's up to top notch, Darby couldn't handle it when he found the spaces. And Big Danny, basically holding the ball up front, physically takes the pressure off him. But Blackburn are a team that, for me, are a team that really have to have at least 9 of the players playing well. They can't really carry too many. And if they do have the players all clean on song, then they're very difficult to beat.
So Blackburn will be confident of getting something out of this one, Kevin. They've won the last 3 against QPR. How do you think Rangers will line up for this one? We were mentioning with the boys here in the studio, just saying that John Eustace is approaching each game on its own merits, dependent on the opposition. Do you think there could be any shocks to the way that QPR play? And who are players that you'd be watching out for and worried about?
I don't think about any shocks. Like, I think, if anything, like most teams that have watched Blackburn tended to have put out a kind of holding midfielder just in front of the two central defenders to kind of try and nullify the areas that Bradley Dack plays in. So that's possibly going to be a key area for Queen's Park Rangers to put someone in that area to possibly stop Blackburn on the go.
We're currently managerless. We've got John Eustace in the caretaker seat. A name hotly linked is Tim Sherwood, who we've just been debating. Now, you know him quite well from playing at Blackburn together. Do you think Tim Sherwood's the right character to come into a club like QPR and make a difference?
I think he has a character. I think he has a know-how as well. You know, I think Tim's been very, very unlucky. I mean, people forget what he done at Spurs. By bringing in some of the younger players, some of the players that weren't getting a game and lifted Spurs up. Before he moved on to Aston Villa, which didn't really work out for him in the manner I don't think he would have liked to. But I would certainly say, yeah, he's definitely, for me, he's got the temperament, he's got the character, he knows football very, very well, and the way that he studied football at Tottenham, certainly he'd take that into his managerial role. I don't see a problem.
So, Kevin, where do you think Blackburn should be looking to strengthen next season then? Where's your biggest weakness, do you think?
He's
that's
scouting.
Not my biggest weakness. Yeah, just pass this straight on to Justice, and then that'll be hit one. No, to be fair, I think if Blackburn are going to strengthen, realistically, I think we possibly, if we're going to give it a big push in the Championship next year, there's probably about 6 places, positions that Blackburn really need to strengthen. There's probably a couple of full-backs, maybe a central defender, centre forward.
So everywhere.
there's key areas, yeah. It's very difficult because we've got a lot of central midfielders that are very similar to each other.
Do you still want Freeman?
All decent players. So, to be fair, we'll take a lot of players that are better than the ones that we've got. But it's to enhance it. If we can't get them, then Tony won't buy them.
Yeah, Blackburn tried to buy Freeman in January with a cheeky $4 million. I think they were the only people that actually made an official bid for him. Which at the time, I have a feeling Blackburn might have even been below QPR, but they obviously realised the financial situation we were in and put in the $4 million bid. Do you think he'd be a good player for you guys to sign up?
I've not really seen him much, I must be honest. This year, when you're looking around, there's some players do catch my eye and things and players I would like to see. But there hasn't been many. I've been watching more Blackburn and studying them from being at League One. And more worrying about them and trying to see if you can fit some players into the side. And you leave everything like the other players to the management when it gets mentioned. And Freeman was one that we looked at in January. So, you know, there must be something there that Tony fancies. But everybody's looking at the moment at Beresford, who Blackburn bought for between 5 and 7 million or something like that. And to be fair on him, the kid's not really done anything. So I think the fans are a little bit sceptical at the moment if we spend a lot of money on players.
Just to bring listeners an update, it's been a big goal in the Champions League. Ajax have taken the lead at Juventus. Juventus 1, Ajax 2 is now a latest score. And that puts Ajax through if things stay as they are. What a shock that would be. So beating Juventus beating Real Madrid as well in the previous round at the Bernabeu, like crazy, crazy times. Kevin Gallagher, we have on the line just reflecting on QPR's next fixture, Friday night game in the Championship against Blackburn Rovers. And the boys have got one more question for him.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm not sure if you played with Roy Regley at either Coventry or Blackburn, but did you ever play against Roy Regley, obviously being a QPR legend on the pitch or in the training ground, and what's your memories of him?
Yeah, I played against Roy. Didn't play with him, but I was on a swap deal, plus money, with him for going to Blackburn from Coventry. So from that point of view, it was strange because Blackburn were buying me for $2.5 million and then Coventry were buying Regley for $1 million, so... it went more like everybody was saying, more like a swap deal. So it was kind of one of those situations. But yeah, Roy to me was a talented player, but he wasn't really a hard worker. He was one of those types of players that, as you class, is he's a very good entertainer. But when the going gets tough, Roy went kind of missing a little bit. But I thought he was a fantastic talent. I was always looking at players like that, and I kind of wondered why Kenny wanted me and not him. And I think it was just basically my work rate was slightly different than Roy's, and that was the way Kenny wanted to build Blackburn Rovers.
All right, just to end then, Kev, final word from you. Prediction for the game Friday night, QPR versus Blackburn Rovers.
Oh, I've got to go for a Blackburn away one. I'm going for a 2-1 victory for Blackburn. Sorry, lads.
That's all right. You've not had a draw in about 3 months, have you? So it's always win or lose.
Well, I know, that's the way they go. It's either win or lose. And I just fancy they're on a nice little streak. I think they'll be a little bit more relaxed. And I think that might help them a little bit.
Well, Kevin, thank you for that insight. And, of course, we'll be keeping our eye on that fixture Friday night, QPR versus Blackburn Rovers. That's former Blackburn forward Kevin Gallagher, who actually won the Premier League up front alongside Alan Shearer. I mean, there was a big goal he scored, was it, against Manchester United? I remember, like, a little chip over Peter Schmeichel, a pivotal goal in... What year was that?
Palace as well,
was
I
that
think.
95?
He scored against Palace.
I think. Oh, great memories in those kind of first few years of the Premier League becoming the Galactico giant that it is today. You are listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with the boys from Ranger Things. We're with you all the way until 10 p.m. this evening. If you want to get involved in the conversation, QPR fans out there, give us a call. 0208 70 25 58 is the number, or at Love Sport Radio across the social.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views, or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome back. You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. The time is 33 minutes past nine. Is that right? Did we say 33? I'm kind of like in a twilight zone at the moment.
27-2.
Yeah, something like that.
96
okay, right.
to 10.
9:33. People. All right. So make sure you tune in for the next 27 minutes or so. Get involved with the conversation as well. 0208 70 25 58 is the number, or at Love Sport Radio across the socials. Next up, we have got QPR legend Tony Thorpe on the line just to review that Swansea performance in a little bit more detail. Get the professional opinion on whether the Super Hoops have turned a corner or not. Hello, Tony.
How are you guys? You okay?
Very good. Great to have you on. You're in the studio with the boys from Ranger Things. So, yeah, let me throw it to you, Tony Thorpe. What have you made of the last couple of performances under caretaker boss John Eustace?
Yeah, obviously Norwich was a real tough game. They're absolutely flying and probably go and win the league. And then Swansea have been doing okay, to be fair, and then QPR turn them over 4-0. But I think that just sums up QPR's season, really. You know, no winning eight and then go and beat probably a good Swansea side 4-0 comfortably. So I did say that they'd probably one or two wins away. And I think if they can get maybe a point or three on Friday, I think that should just be enough. I think they're 8 points clear now.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much safe now. So given that's the position, what do you think we should do the rest of the season now? And in terms of the manager and John Eustace, what's your view? Should we keep with him, give him the rest of the season, or bring someone in now and get them bedded?
No, I think it'd be ludicrous to bring somebody in now. I think give John the opportunity to see out the next 4 or 5 games. He's obviously done okay in the terms of beating Swansea. Like I said, quite comfortably 4-0. You're going to have to give him the rest of the season and then reassess it all and then see in the summer what they're going to do. But it definitely needs some decisions from the board.
And what do you think? Where are QPR pitching now, Tony? I mean, you know the club. You've played at Loftus Road. You know the fans' expectations. I was watching the highlights package at the weekend, and Michael Brown was saying mid-table is the aspiration for QPR in the Championship. Anything above that is punching way above their weight. What do QPR do in the current predicament of finances and managerlessness?
Well, I think it's a rebuilding process. I don't think they should start throwing silly finances at it. I think you're right. I think they've got to give it... I think I did probably say a month or so ago that they've got to give it time. It takes clubs potentially years to get into the Premier League. And, you know, look at Villa at the moment. You know, that, they've not found it easy. Middlesbrough. I mean, Hull, the list goes on and on and on. And for me, I think they've got to rebuild with that balance of youth and experience, and then kind of build a team for the future. And you never know, in the next couple of years, they could have a team that potentially could, you know, fight out a top six spot. But right now, I think the guy was right. I think they're a mid-table kind of punching above their weight, I suppose.
Okay, Tony, and as for up front next season, who do you think should be leading the line for Rangers? Do you think Otte is ready from what you've seen? Or do you think we should try and get another one on loan? Do you think we should keep Smith? Who do you think we should be going for?
Yeah, I think you should keep Smith. Listen, goal scorers are so hard and so expensive in this day and age. So, yeah, you've got to have that balance between youth and experience. But every club that's in that top six has got a goal scorer. And I just feel that QPR haven't got that 20 goals a season striker at the moment that would separate them from a top eight to a bottom half team. And yeah, I wouldn't say they've got to really throw any serious kind of money at it next year. I think the rebuilding, bringing somebody in to really have a good look at the team and make maybe some little changes and kind of do it that way rather than do what most clubs have done, which is expect promotion and fall by the wayside.
Tony. So while you're saying that, I'm just mouthing to these guys in front. I'm pointing at my Cholton shirt I'm wearing and I'm going to them, Lyle Taylor. They've turned back to me and
no,
gone,
thanks.
Who? So, I mean, what about the big man at Cholton? If we aren't promoted, 20 goals this season. He got 18 for AFC Wimbledon last season. He wouldn't cost you a lot of money. We sold Carlin Grant, who's like 21, for $2.5 million.
Why are you trying
Lyle
to sell
Taylor's
him,
29.
You burnt us on Jason Cousins.
Yeah. Jordan.
Jordan.
Sorry, Jordan. I can't even get his name
so we
right.
Got Jason.
But yeah, Tony, have you seen much of Lyle Taylor? And do you think he could fit in?
Listen, Cholton have had a great... Charlton are my tips to nick that second spot.
Good man.
I mean, to be fair to Luton, they have been the best team this year.
You
and
would
I
say
think
that.
They will go up as champions.
Right.
For me personally, I do think Charlton could sneak that second spot. It's going to go to the wire, obviously, between Sunderland, Barnsley and Portsmouth. But yeah, I mean, give these young guys a chance. I mean, look at the Luton striker, Hilton. He's had a magnificent two or three seasons.
Yeah.
But he'd probably be a bit more expensive. But you've got to look at lower league players that are getting 20, 30 goals because they're high in confidence. And bringing in players that are on serious amounts of money, let's say anything between 5 and 15 grand a week, is not always the answer.
So, talking about Charlton still, Lee Burry was linked with a QPR job. Do you think that was a genuine link or was that his agent talking up a new contract for him at Charlton?
Yeah, could be a bit of both.
He'd be lucky with our owner.
I think QPR have got a kind of... they're attached to a big name. And I think Les Ferdinand will sit down with the chairman at the end of the season. And there's been a lot of... It's a great club, so there'll be a lot of options, please believe me. But me personally, I kind of said last time I was on the show that... You know, we spoke about Gareth Ainsworth and then there's Lee Bowyer and there's quite a few good young managers out there and why not give them a chance?
Well,
why
think,
not?
Yeah, but big names, I mean, we've burnt enough big names who have come to us and then arguably...
We didn't burn Harry properly, did we?
Yeah, we didn't
still
burn
walking.
Harry properly, but damaged their careers, you know, and I don't know if we're going to be able to attract another big name. I think, you know, I'd love to bring in Ainsworth, but we also don't want to destroy him.
No, absolutely. He's had 4 or 5 great years at Wickham. Mm. Is it too early for him? I've not spoke to Gareth for a while. But definitely, listen, there's some really good young managers. I know Nathan Jones did a great job at Luton and got a good move to Stoke, somebody in that kind of ilk. that's obviously, you know, started at the bottom, worked his way up like Gareth has in the managerial world. And, yeah, got to give somebody else a chance. I'm fed up of seeing, no disrespect to Steve McClaren, he's been a great manager over the years, but he's kind of done now. I think that's probably his last job.
There's a few people that the game has evolved beyond, isn't it? So even like Alan Pardew.
Hughes, Pardew, Redknapp.
No, not for me.
They've all had it, haven't they, now?
No. Yeah, they're all done. Tony Pulis, no disrespect, at Middlesbrough's finding it tough. I played under Tony as well. Even Ian Holloway, no disrespect, great guy. You know, these guys have had their time and their turn. It is, for me, for QPR, or for most clubs now, you've got it. I mean, look at Eddie Howe at Bournemouth. Has he taken them as far as he can? You know, he's done an absolute great job, and he went into that role relatively young. Take that chance. Give somebody a real good chance.
And going back to the strikers, because, you know, we'll end up with the manager, whoever it is, but strikers are rare. Going back to your comment about taking lower division, we kind of did that with Connor Washington. It didn't work. You're in management. Who have you seen in the lower divisions that we should have an eye on? Is there someone in your scouting prowess that we should be watching?
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I haven't seen an awful lot, but when we obviously mentioned Hilton at Luton and the guy at Charlton, they've scored a lot of goals, and you've got the striker, I can't remember his name, at Barnsley, it's done okay. I'm not too...
Kiefer Moore, I think that is, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not too familiar with a lot of strikers at that level, but listen, you don't know until you try. It's as simple as that. And, you know, if they fail and it's not cost you a lot of money, there's no problem. But there's kind of a tag that comes with you for big money at big clubs. And I think QPR have got to readdress everything throughout the squad, not just strikers, and start rebuilding again and start thinking that they're going to, you know, automatically get in that top six or promotion. It's just nonsense.
And we've always had, for the last few years, we've had a massive imbalance between people that are on a lot of money and then other players who are on a lot less. And there's been kind of, you know, a huge imbalance, and it's not gone well for them. I think now we've got the wage, but we're going to have to get the wage bill down at the end of the season because we've got no choice. But, you know, I think we're going to have to look for lower league and go abroad as well.
Yeah, balance the books. And I want to know what the scouting network's like and what the recruitment's like, because it just seems to me that it's not been that great. I mean, I've got a golf day at for QPR next Wednesday. It'd just be interesting to see what the lads think as well. You know, some of the ex-players, along with what Les thinks as well, because he's normally there.
Well, Gary Penrice is the one you want to be asking. That's the
chief scout. Well, Gary's been chief scout since I was there.
Yeah, and so, well, I guess the thing is, we've said that, haven't we?
Well, he got me.
Well, the game's evolves beyond managers. Could you also argue that it's the same there systematically? You know, maybe scouts, if they've been there a long time, they're not seeing the new wave and the new evolution of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, no disrespect to Penrice. He brought me into the club from Luton, so that's how long he's been at the club, so maybe then he's...
Yeah, he left and came back, just to be clear. Yeah, he hasn't been there the whole time, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy, Gary, by the way, but like you said, the recruitment's so important at every club, not just QPR.
Well, listen, Tony, thank you so much for the insight there into the future of the team and Loftus Road and everything that's going on.
Prediction.
Oh, we didn't get a prediction from him. You didn't tell me you wanted a prediction down here. What prediction
it's
for
on
what?
On the script. Come on, James.
Prediction for what, though? What do you want a prediction
on? Blackburn Derby. You'll have to do it now.
Okay, my prediction is that QPR are going to win. Because after two fantastic results, then, I mean, three's a trick, isn't it? Three's a treat. I love three. Yeah, come on, you super hoops. It is the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. The time is 9:44. We're with the Ranger Things boys for another 13, 14 minutes or so. If you want to get involved in the conversation, it's 0208 702558 or at Love Sport Radio across the socials.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Here we go. It's the last segment of the show. It has been the QPR Fan Show with you on Love Sport Radio from 9 until 10 p.m. to the top of the hour. It's for the fans, by the fans. I've got the Ranger Things boys in the studio with me, Julian, Gareth and Gav. Boys, we're going to take it onto the road to nowhere. Talk to me about that. What does that actually mean? That's all I've got in front of me. So I'll throw that over to you. The road to nowhere.
To the eyes. Come back to me for that one. That's Arthur Nohair. We've explained this a few times now, but Arthur Nohair, who's a club legend for more things off the pitch than on the pitch, it became on that road to Arthur Nohair. But it's we used to have the little theme tune from Talking Heads as well, the road to nowhere.
Yeah, I was going
to
sing it now.
Well, why have we not got the theme tune on the show tonight? I'm always up
right,
for a
the
sing
theme
song.
Licensing rights.
Yeah. Cutting back here at Love Sport massively.
Next time, don't worry. We'll have it. Yeah. See, I'm accusing other fans of not having as much passion as me. I can't see any QPR shirts here. I've not heard a single sing song. but we are staying up. Say we are staying up. Yeah.
Well maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
We are going. We were never
going down.
We've been too busy shutting Waterloo Bridge down, right, Gav?
Yeah. Damn right.
What is this all about?
It's the random PSG
owners wanting to get involved with QPR. Is that right? Are you hoping that the rumours are true?
And couldn't afford us.
You need a new stadium. So, I mean, that could be quite handy.
We need somewhere to build it first.
Yeah.
True that. Yeah.
New space in Paris.
By London. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you could play all your home games in Paris. That would be nice.
It's too soon, guys.
So what is the link and how much validity is in that?
Well, I think it's just press speculation. I think there was three clubs linked. There's Nottingham Forest, Aston Villa and QPR. So why not QPR?
Random three clubs to join.
Who is it?
Together.
Qatari Investment?
Well, it's the people who own PSG. Yeah, looking. So it's oil money looking to invest in the Premier League. We got the advantage of being London. And surely an owner who's trying to offload.
I'd rather stay poor and where we are than be the new Chelsea, chuck a load of cash at it. It's ugly and just,
We've done it and we failed.
Well, for that, for a start. But
we've done it twice and
we didn't chuck that kind of money at it. We didn't chuck oil money at it. We just chucked a little bit of
$100 million
shelling out cash.
If we go back to that little generation when you were chucking money at things, who would you label as the worst? Chelsea fullback.
The
worst for money or performance or both?
Any of it. Samba?
Samba is we made 500 grand on the Samba deal. We bought him for 12 million and we sold him for 12 and a half.
Best bit of
back to the same club.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay.
Harry.
I think
extension.
I'll go Wright Phillips because we paid money and his weight. It was 13.5 million pounds for one goal.
But it was against Chelsea.
That's what it works out at. 13.5 million pounds we gave.
That's worth it. I beat Chelsea, right? At Stamford Bridge, 1-0?
That's what you got to decide.
Talking of betting, that was 1,100 to 1 at night.
And what about, what was Julian? Junior Hyler, how much was he? He didn't really work out.
He was all right. A couple of million, I think.
Was he not a free transfer?
And it
was on a lot of money, though. And we had a lot of hangover for that. Steve Caulker has got been mentioned,
though. At least we went
though.
Up twice, though.
60 grand. Yeah, well, it was worth it.
Did Steve Caulker end up going to the MLS?
Dundee.
Yeah, he's got an England cap as well, right?
One England cap.
He's got a load of
He went on loan.
Tesco as well.
He went on loan to Liverpool and playing centre forward for Liverpool.
For three games, I think.
Wasn't yeah, it was random as.
4-3 win. Right?
It's like Twilight Zone here. Right, that is the road to nowhere.
Right, I've also got here Elias Chair. Is that a loanee you've got out of Stevenage?
He is.
Right, talk to me about him.
Six assists, two goals, I think.
He's got more than that.
Three goals,
he's got four World Cups.
He's
got four goals, yeah.
Okay, so a promising young talent.
Yeah.
Coming out of the academy. How is the academy there nowadays?
Decent. Better, a lot better than it was back in the day. I mean, we signed him from a Belgian team, I believe, a couple of years ago. So you've got to praise the scouts for the likes of Eze and Otte, these release players, going to Belgium and getting Ilias Chair. He's ripping up League Two. Paul Smith, yeah, from Linfield, a bit closer to home. But Ilias Chair is ripping up for Stevenage. They love him down there, like Eze was at Wickham, be warned. And he got carried off 2 weeks ago and it looked like a serious injury, but it was a dead thigh. He's quite young, so it must have been a dead leg from somebody, and he came back on. He got two assists at the weekend, so yeah, back into it.
So would you like to see him in and around it next season then?
It'll have to be.
Yeah, I think we've discussed this before. We got, I think, a few too many similar players in that kind of ilk. Young players coming through. Yeah, number 10s. But yeah, I think if Freeman's going to go, which he's probably our only real sellable asset, unless Eze
I don't think Freeman will go.
No.
No, not the end of the season he's had. He looks fatigued. I don't know who would buy him. Maybe one of the teams coming down or the big Middlesbrough.
But if he did go, then it might not be the end of the world. Because, you know, I don't think you can put Freeman, Smith, Chair, you know, and Bright. They can't all fit into the same side.
He has to go because we need some money.
We need some cash.
And there's going to be teams like, not Leeds necessarily because they look like they might go up, but a Leeds or a Middlesbrough or a Villa who don't go up. That'll think, hey, we need that creative player in that position, and they'll pay £5-6 million for him.
Yeah.
He's going.
We've got Josh Gower now anyway, number 10, so he's all right.
And talk to me about this community stuff that's going on. So QPR in the community, a few shirts up for auction on eBay. Is that for charity? I see also there's a Grenfell Tower mosaic as well. A few
On to eBay actually to have a look at it, and there's a few of the shirts are like about 40 quid now, like Eze's and Lumley's. And I noticed Lynch is with 99p.
But you actually get Joel Lynch with the shirt. That's the thing. He like comes around your house and does a bit of gardening or something.
So, yeah, sweeps up.
Not well.
I might put a sort of sympathy bid in just to put it up to £1.50.
But I think the fact we lost that game, it was a 10th anniversary of QPR on the Community Trust, and all the money goes back into the trust for the delivery they do on the ground, which is phenomenal. And you mentioned Grenfell. They've been there since literally day one, and they're still there now doing it. So, we, you know, it's an honour to be part of a club that's doing that sort of thing in the community.
Yeah, it's really good, actually. And also, Raheem Sterling's doing a lot of stuff back in that area, isn't he? He took a load of school kids up to the Man City game, because he came through, didn't he? Your academy, QPR, and then he was nicked by Liverpool.
Well, Raheem came to England from Jamaica when he was 5, and then ended up going to school in Harlesden in Brent, and we got him when he was 9. And Steve Gallen, who's been on the show a couple of times, he was in the academy at the time. And Sterling was playing for the under-13s, I think it was, and scored a hat-trick. And the coach went, do something with him, Steve, because he's just ripping this up. And he went and played for Steve Gallen second half and got another hat-trick. Steve can confirm or deny that, but he basically scored 6 goals for an under-13s and under-15s. Unbelievable. Liverpool. He's going to be the youngest player at QPR. We're going to give him his first team debut because of what Steve did with him and get him in the first team. And then him and his agent and his mum went up to Anfield and had a look. And I think they signed him for about £1 million. But we made £9 million on him when he went to City.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, we had like a 20% sell-on clause. So he's one of the most record players we've ever had.
When he goes to Barcelona for a 200.
We get nothing. Yeah. We get nothing.
Do you know what, though?
We get a photo.
That's really savvy because from a Charlton perspective, we've lost out on so much money from the likes of Joe Gomez, Jonjo Shelvey, etc.
Jordan Cousins.
So yeah.
But it was Paladini that did that deal. And anyone that knows Paladini, it was all dodgy, slippery. We signed players like Armel Tchonke and players from Carshalton. And like, Sterling was a savvy bit of business. We got £9 million for him. But Sterling, what a guy. He's coming back into the area. Not just doing that for the kids locally, but doing stuff on the ground in North West London.
Yeah, and just talk to me a little bit about this Grenfell mosaic as well. Is that at the stadium or...?
No, it's not. To be completely honest, I think
there's 12 companies or whatever who've inputted into this, of which we are one. There's a mosaic that's going to go.
It's in the North Kent area, isn't it? It's near
up there, and it's got sort of names. And it's
in the North Kent area.
North Kensington.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, is it North Kent? Why
sorry,
bro.
It's West London.
Why are they putting it there?
It's proper London. It's the soul, heart and soul, not in ill.
Yeah, it's just obviously to, you know, remember what happened, and it's a you know attractive thing, and all the names are on there.
Yeah, really nice touch by the club and also other businesses that are supporting that, of course. So, boys, the game coming up against Blackburn Friday night. Who's going?
Yeah, Friday afternoon. Good Friday. Don't forget.
It's what Jesus
3 o'clock.
Wanted, yeah.
Well, he would have wanted you down the loft.
Yep.
Who?
Jesus.
Yeah, who?
What, Man City?
He sounds good.
What?
Jesus.
Jesus.
He didn't have religion in Wales, apart from rugby and singing.
He's not
we praise the sheep.
He's not good at crosses. Yep.
Yeah. Save me.
So, we didn't do predictions from you guys, did we?
Not yet.
Right, okay. So, let's talk predictions on that game then. And what do you want to see from the team? More of the same from previous? Anything that maybe might need to be tightened up from the Swansea game?
Well, these two are back, so they're going to Jonah it. Yeah. As we're in the Bible, and it's going to be like 4-0 Blackburn, isn't it?
Well,
I think we'll get a draw. I'll go 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I bet a draw last time. We won 4-0, so I think I'll go for a 2-0 draw.
Well, I went 4-1 Furlong on Saturday, so I think I will go Manning 3-0.
Manning's getting all three, is
all
he?
Three hat-trick, left foot, right foot and bum.
I'm going for a 2-1 for Palace.
Palace.
I keep swapping it round.
Show, it's
I keep,
a long
yeah,
time.
Swapping it round. In the Palace time. Show, I kept saying QPR, and in this one, now I've just dropped a Palace in.
But we need to predict two games because we got another one on Monday as well.
You have? Are you playing on Monday?
Derby away. Frank Lampard's derby.
Yeah,
we're going to go down 2-0 to that one.
I reckon 1-0 to Derby.
I'll just go 3-1.
Jodie Morris to
I'm
score.
I'm going to be optimistic and say 1-1.
There we go. We'll yeah. take that. You're Put welcome back.
Put my energy
You're
behind the back. Super hoops. But hopefully they will outdo that and even take all 3 points. We'll be putting our energy behind John Eustace, boys, yeah. For the rest of the season here at Love Sport Radio. And that is us pretty much wrapped here on the QPR Fan Show. Boys, anything else you want to drop in before we exit?
Well, I think if we need a manager that's up for the fight, we should look no further than Joe Barton. As we know,
all right.
Okay. Legend.
It's a shame that Cardiff is just. Well, no, kind of shame. Warnock. Cardiff, because I was hoping that Warnock would come back to us when Cardiff went down.
Just to update listeners out there, it did finish Brighton 0, Cardiff 2 from the Amex in the Champions League. Barcelona won it 3-0, 4-0 on aggregate against Man United, and Ajax have knocked out Juventus, winning 2-1 on the night. Go on.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
On the Dutch boys.